Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is September 23rd, 2017, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. And we're broadcasting live, simulcasting on KMIL 105.1 FM and at a Rockdale 98.5 KRXT. So all you Rockdalonians out there, welcome aboard. Love to have you. Give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. It's 697-6633. We've got a lot going on, but before I can get my day going, I've got to go to Hilltop Cefco here in Cameron and get my cup of fresh Joe. I get my premium coffee at Cefco every day. It's awesome. They've also got some great specials going on. They got a dollar refill on any size fountain drinks and your standard size M&M's plain or peanut. Buy one, get one free. Go there, Hilltop Cefco and Cameron. Say hi to Becky. She's awesome. Tell everybody else there, hi. Tell them I sent you. Now, we've got a lot going on today. So let me give you some highlights, show highlights, so you are prepared. In this week's segment of True Stories of Self-Defense, we're going to listen to a 911 call from a woman who could not get help from law enforcement. This story underlines the reason why you must be able to defend yourself. Yeah, warning on listening to it. When it comes up, we'll tell you. In today's License to Carry and Attorney segment, we'll review Penal Codes 942 and 9.43, protection of one's own property and deadly force to protect property. Now, this topic or penal code never gets old, since it's one of those that people ask about or are concerned about a lot. And we will have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson here to break it all down for us and to make it clear. Today, another segment with retired Green Beret Mark Boyer going over range etiquette. We all get sloppy on the range, so Mark is going to clean us up a bit here. Then right after that, Janae Goodman with another delicious segment of tactical snacking. This week's Serious Citrus, uses of citrus around the house and for food dishes. And at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the pontificator of practicality, the teacher of tenacity, the connoisseur of common sense, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms, right there by the train wreck, is the Rock Island Armory M1911A1. The 100-year design by John Moses Browning. Great gun for a great price. See the picture at aaronsgunshop.com. Just go to the Facebook page and check it out. Like us while you're there. My special guest today is Milam County's new game warden, Derek Remspies. I hope I said that right, game warden. I believe I did. You can correct me if I screwed it up, and I apologize. If you hunt or fish, you need to listen to this interview. The warden will be on right about 11:35. And finally, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy located in Rockdale, will be here to give us insight on how to defend ourselves. So, another action-packed show, and I want to get it started. Trey, you've got it all queued up here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start it off with, instead of true stories that I read to you, we're going to let you listen to a 911 call for about 2 minutes. It's a two-minute call. And this is why, what you're about to hear is why I tell you, especially ladies, you need to get your act together. You need to get yourself prepared. You need to be able to defend yourself. Because when it comes time to it, somebody might not be there. 911 may not be able to help you out. Trey, go ahead and play it.
Oregon State Police, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray. This is Dina, Joe County 911. I have a caller that is at... And she says that someone, her boyfriend is at her door trying to break in.
Okay.
My ex-boyfriend has been violent. She's been violent with me in the past, Michael Bella. I told him I was going to call. He's now trying to break in through the window. He's trying to jimmy it open.
Okay. Do you have anybody else in the house with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is...
Okay. And what's your callback number? Does he live there?
No, he does not.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have anybody to send out there.
Okay.
You know, obviously, if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away, or do you know if he's intoxicated or anything?
I've already asked him. I've already told him I was calling you. He's spoken before, busted down my door, assaulted me.
Is there any way you can safely leave the residence?
No, I can't, because he's blocking pretty much my only way out.
With a vehicle, or?
With a vehicle, and with himself at my front door also.
Okay, is there anybody that you can call to come over and help you, or do you have any friends?
He has sat there and destroyed my phone that had all of my contacts in it, because I have neighbors, because he's done this. I can't get a hold of my neighbors. I don't know what the phone numbers are. I just had to get a new phone.
Okay. Well, The only thing I can do is give you some advice and call the sheriff's office tomorrow. Obviously, if he comes in and unfortunately has a weapon or is trying to cause you physical harm, that's a different story. The sheriff's office doesn't work up there. I don't have anybody to send.
Okay.
And we don't dispatch for him. Like I said, it's an unfortunate situation.
Okay, but I'll have to take care of myself, I guess.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to be that woman? Do you really want to be that woman? Look, I shouldn't probably say this, but I know dispatchers, and I know that won't fly. That wouldn't have fly. Somebody could have gone there, but it doesn't matter. The point is, you have to be responsible for yourself. So, ladies and guys, I mean, I don't know. Guys can't handle it. You got to start learning how to handle yourself, I guess, especially those who are maybe crippled or unable to maneuver around. You've got to devise a way to protect yourself. Become a master at your location, a master of your mind, body, and spirit, a master of the weapon that you have to defend yourself. But if you don't do it, if you've been warned and don't do it, just like hurricane people, you've been warned, but you don't buy water, you don't get your plywood, you've been warned. Yet if you continue to sit there like that, it's your own damn fault. Get yourself prepared. You never know when you call 911, there may not be anybody available. It's a large county, and there may not be that many people who can make it from one side to the other. And by the way, she got beaten and raped. Just letting you know. All right, let me go on. I'm going to read to you my opinion piece now. Maybe that'll cheer you up. My opinion piece titled, Just Be Yourself, because I sure am. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't remember when it was, but some time ago I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan being interviewed about his music. And I don't remember the exact question, but I sure do remember the answer. And I'll paraphrase it for you. He was asked a question, and his answer was, I play what I like to hear. If you don't like it, then don't listen. That answer has stuck with me and has developed me into a person who feels the same way. There are billions of people on this earth, and I have an inner circle of about 10 of those people. I may have a large listener base due to the show, but my circles of influence are very limited. My objective is not to try and influence you. My objective is to do and say what I believe, and maybe you'll be influenced by it. But that's your choice. Some people may like how my show is done. Others may not. Why should I stress over those who don't like it when I'm only interested in those who do? That's the way it should be in most things. As long as you don't cram your ideology down my throat and you don't harm yourselves or others, do whatever makes you happy. I believe in God, but I am not your God. I am not your judge. But through my actions and words, I hope to be a positive influence. If God wants you, trust me, he's going to get you. I've been called many things, and I'm sure some of those things fit, but hopefully there's something of me that is a positive influence that may influence you in a positive way. In all of us, there is something good. Whatever the situation, let's all try to take the good out of it. I'm terrible at this, but I know it's the right thing to do. I'm hoping that since I know this to be true, that in time I will master this attitude. We must all try. If we don't, then it's nothing but negative ending with negative results. If you're like me, you can usually see a fake a mile away. Being fake does no one any good, especially the fake person. It's a false reality, an illusion, a bubble that will soon burst. So, with my 54 years on this planet, I offer this advice. Be yourself and don't worry if people like you or not. The ones who do, great. The ones who don't, so what? Move on. And that attitude goes for this show, too. If you like it, then talk it up. Share it with people. Like us on Facebook. Give us positive feedback. But if you don't like the show, then just don't listen. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is we're going to fade out with some Stevie Ray Vaughan. Pride and Joy. Go ahead and take it out to the commercial break. And when we come back on the other side of the commercial break, we are going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Welcome back, everybody. We are back, September 23rd, 2017. And we are now here sitting to my left is attorney Benton Ross Watson. It's being sponsored
Woo!
By Coppolino Dobb Krebs Law Firm. And we are just so thankful for that. And attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, I'm telling you, you're paying my medical bills, dude. That's right. Don't look at me like that. I'm carrying satchel bags.
I thought you had a case
mail.
With Rick or something.
All this fan mail, man. Have him email it to you or something. All right, here we are. We're here today, and we're talking about Penal Code 941 and 942, protection of one's own property and deadly force to protect one's property. And we do this periodically from time to time because so many people, you know, you hear it, but then you go, what can I do? I go, first of all, study your books. But I know you're not going to, so that's why I'm here. We're going to repeat every now and then, repeat what's going on and explain the do's and the don'ts, the cans and the can nots, and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
Ross, tell us about it.
We've talked about how many thousands of... and really into the millions of laws that there are in a couple of episodes. And I just busted my pen again.
You're thinking about your girlfriend,
so,
yeah. Right?
and so the legislature has tried to, through codification of these laws, take into account for so many situations, but I can understand why people read this and don't want to read all of these provisions because, you know, there's so many instances in life that, you know, you can't put down in black and white, and they're hard to account for.
And I've learned from you guys, you and Rick, that even though it's in black and white, the part that isn't black and white, it almost doesn't mean anything. It almost doesn't mean anything because, like, the personality of the judge, what the enter into court, the attitude of a juror, I mean, don't do it, everybody. Wait till the last minute before you have to use that weapon.
And that's exactly right. That's probably the best advice that you can give.
Mark that down on your calendar.
And I understand that there's going to be the environments and circumstances where a person is going to, it's not going to feel the same. You know, we can sit here and say that, oh, you wait till the last moment, but, you know.
Well, everybody's last moment is different.
Different, exactly. And so even that has a different meaning in what somebody thinks may be the last moment or what may be necessary, okay, is going to be different in every case. And that's so why when we talk to jurors about any kind of self-defense case, one thing we go into is you're looking at it from what the defendant's, my client's point of view. My client, what did my client think was necessary immediately in those circumstances?
Mm-hmm. And you got to convey that to have other people believe it.
And so one of my favorite things to say is, you know, the state's going to get up there and say, well, it's got to be a reasonable belief. And they always talk about a reasonable doubt. Doesn't mean beyond all doubt. Well, is anybody here paranoid?
Not me.
Is anybody here psychotic?
Well, that might be the case.
I mean, we may have some problems, but for the most part, if you have doubts and you're a reasonable person, it's a reasonable doubt.
There you go.
Okay, and so if there's any reasonable doubt, even one, then the verdict's got to be not guilty. Okay, and so it's the same concept. Is my client a psychotic just because he got into a fight or just because he was involved in this situation? Like, talked about what happened with me just about a month ago. I mean, I had nothing to do with that. I was trying to get out of there. I mean, so a lot of times good people are put into bad circumstances and they have to figure out a way to get out of.
But the more prepared you are, hopefully through shows like this, the less problematic it will be as if you got to go to court.
Right. And so, like you said, if you always have it in your mind to wait till it's absolutely necessary, right, then at least you're going to try to wait till it's absolutely necessary. And that may be different for you, but that's what you can argue.
Okay. Ross, I want to ask you, I want to set this up first. There's a lot of terms in here that people ask me all the time, and I want to hear from you if you're okay with this, because I want to use the terms that you're going to give definitions to as standby blocks of information when it comes into the story of somebody having to defend themselves. If they've got these bits of information that are not deniable, you can't deny it. It is what it is. It means what it means. And let me give you an example of one. What is tangible, movable property?
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, listen to all this stuff that we're going to talk about and just make notes so that when you apply your storyline to it, you have definitions.
So again, we've talked about self-defense. Okay, it's self-defense of a person, of yourself, of another person, okay, of your child, wife, whatever. But today we're talking about defense of property. I'd like to start at, some people would say, well, why do we need defense of property if you can defend yourself? Well, sometimes somebody trying to take your personal property, okay, or other times you're on your land, and some people would say, well, why, if you're on your land, we already know that you get the presumption to use self-defense, and it's not even, arguably, they can't even arrest you, and it's not even an affirmative defense so much as it is a complete protection that you're authorized to use force when you're in your house or on your land and somebody's coming into it. Well, even if you get into one of those instances, and that's necessarily true, but even if you're there, the residence, an occupied vehicle, an occupied place of employment. And so it sort of gives this implication, and we don't know for sure yet, and what I was saying is a little vague. It sounds specific, but it's not really, okay, but it gives this implication that maybe you have to be there. And so what if you come home and somebody's there and there's nobody else at your house? It was in the middle of the day. I gave this example last year when we had a show on a similar topic. So if you come home and somebody's robbing your house, technically that house wasn't occupied. Maybe the cat. Okay, but I don't think that's what the code is talking about. And
see what I mean? Black and white isn't black and white.
Right. And so we get there. Now, if you go in and do something, can you really use the self-defense provision? Well, it was an occupied residence. You sure don't get the presumption. And so your lawyer is going to want to also tack onto that defense of property. Okay. And so we go, and this is where we are. And the code talks about, in the first instance, in Texas Penal Code Section 9.41, it talks about a person who is in lawful possession of land and or tangible personal. Okay, tangible, I think, comes from tangere. I think some folks would tell you about...
Yeah, Greek? Latin?
It's Latin. It's Latin, yeah, yeah. Noli me tangere, touch me not, don't touch me. Okay, so comes from tangent, meaning touching, the point, a tangent, vertical point that's touching, abutting to something. So it's tangible personal, probably something that's palpable, something that we have, we can move, and that's why they added that qualifier on their movable property. Now, yes, we can sit here and we could take all the time trying to come up with what property could be tangible and not tangible. Stock typically is not technically a tangible property, but you could classify that down into a certificate
does
of
this
stock.
Does this relate to like real estate, where if it's not attached, like you got plants, you can't cut the plants down and take them because then you're taking the...
And you could argue it's a fixture, right? You could argue, is it a fixture to real property? But if the burglar has gone in and removed your sink, which was probably a fixture, at this point, is it still classified as land? I don't know, but either way, I don't think it's going to matter. Okay, you're going to be entitled probably to the same defense unless he actually gets off and out of that house. Okay, and so it's just going to say that the subsection A is talking about being in lawful possession. And so I take this to mean we're at home and we have somebody come in and trespass into the house. And because it speaks to we're going to prevent or terminate, we're going to stop an action, right, that's maybe just beginning or just in progress. Okay, and we're going to stop it before it's consummated, before it's in completion, before that thing is complete. Okay, and so we're going to terminate or we're going to get out in front of this thing before it actually happens or gets to a point that it has, you know, you would say this act is finalized. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so we're going to, maybe if we walk home, even maybe we haven't technically been in lawful possession, but we haven't actually lost any of our personal property yet that's in that house. So maybe we go in the house to use force to prevent him from dispossessing us of our property. When I say him, I mean the burglar, the thief, or the person we think is the burglar.
Can't somebody say you're escalating?
Well, and so
because you weren't in the house, you weren't occupied, but you went in to occupy.
It's my house. I think I have a right to go inspect what's going on my property.
Granted, but like I said, black and white ain't black and white. So I'm just saying.
I think I definitely have a right to go in and inspect my property and see what the heck is going on when my door's wide open. It looks.
Do you even really need a reason to go into your own home?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Do I even need a reason just to go into my own house? If the law is trying to tell me that I do, then I mean I do think the law is unreasonable, and that's why I do what I do. But I think that we've gotten to a point where we have no reliability whatsoever in the justice system if they're telling me I can't go on to my own property.
Okay.
So I think absolutely my answer is that, yes, you can go on your property. I can see there'd be some kind of liberal and even some crazy conservative, a super crazy conservative would say, oh, you should have just automatically called the cops when you saw your door broke down. Man, that's great, but that's just not how life works. Okay. And I have absolute right, I think, to go on my property. And in my property, especially my house. Okay. And so when I go into my house, right, that's what this code tells me. I have a right to terminate or prevent the other's trespass on the land or unlawful interference with property. I can go in, okay, and inspect, and that's not using force at all whatsoever. There's no way the law could tell me that I didn't have a right to go in my house, okay? And so once I go in my house, right, if I see him trying to take property, at that point I can use force to subdue. Once I go in my house, right, if I see him trying to take property, at that point I can use force to subdue the trespasser or the... That's what the shopkeeper's privilege is about. There's a Rick Dodd would be a great one to ask about this. This is kind of a civil case. He's done some civil assaults. Okay. Well, this is what the shopkeeper's privilege. When you go in and you're trying to shoplift, that security guard or even an employee there has got a right to use reasonable force to detain you and prevent you from leaving the store and prevent you from taking that property.
Okay.
And so they've got an actual right to subdue you, and like I do, and I can use that force, okay, to prevent that interference. But what happens when the guy gets out of the house and he's running away with this property? Now the code has this second section, the subsection B, talking about unlawful dispossession, and I have a right to re-enter the land or recover the property if the actor uses the force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Me, if I use this force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Now, what is fresh pursuit? Fresh pursuit goes back to these old English common law days from the England courts, and what is equity and authority from the king versus from the courts of the church, and then later the courts of law. Okay, and so it goes to an officer going outside of his jurisdiction. Also, we talk about when we have a police officer that maybe didn't have jurisdiction to go into Arkansas. They can use fresh pursuit if they've been chasing that defendant from Texas. They can go into Arkansas because their jurisdiction is kept alive by reason of the chase. Okay, and so that's the same as true with your house. On the Fourth Amendment, a police officer can't go into your house. But if he's given chase immediately from the scene, he's seen you commit this, okay, then he's got a right without a warrant to enter your house because he still has the authority by reason of the chase. His authority is kept alive, and it's also under the exigent circumstances, emergency circumstances provision. At that point, it becomes, right, an emergency situation where the officer's got a right to chase. The same is true for you in these types of instances. I have a right to give chase to protect my property, but if there is, it's got to be continuous. If there's some kind of unreasonable...
Does continuous mean any type of distance?
That's going to be a fact question. I know you want an answer, but I can't give you one. There's going to be a fact question. I think...
Well, that's my answer. My answer is I don't know. So my safety net line would be property line for city block.
I don't think it's necessary that maybe you lose sight of the person. I think, you know, if he ducks around the corner, I think if you keep chasing, right, and maybe you lose him for... We all watch those cool cop shows when they're chasing, facing folks. I mean, it's almost every cop show.
Yeah, but they got a badge on, though.
But it's the same. It's the same kind of situation to go get your property. It is the fresh pursuit, right, is interpreted maybe not constitutionally interpreted exactly the same, right, but for the purposes, that's going to be the same type of definitions that we're going to get in. So if they've got a right to chase, we've got a right to chase. But remember, if you don't have a license to carry, okay, and you're carrying a handgun out here, we've talked about those cases that I don't agree with, by the way, and I don't know how they'll play out under some of the new rules, but I said be very careful because that doesn't necessarily entitle you to take a handgun out in the public if you don't have a license to carry. And so that's another reason why you should have a license to carry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an excellent segment here. If you have any questions, 254-697-6633. You're crazy if you don't call. You've got an attorney here who knows his stuff. 254-697-6633. Go ahead.
But so I'm going to get to the point. The other section is not as difficult because this one applies to the other section as well. But not only do those things have to be true, not only does it have to be fresh pursuit, then you've got if, right, and. So, and the actor, meaning you reasonably believe the other had no claim of right. Well, obviously, if it's your property, they're not going to have a claim that they had a right to take it. Okay, obviously, if it's a burglar, you're going to, or it's a guy with a hoodie on that you can't see, and, you know, unless you're in some kind of divorce case, it's getting nasty, all right, and you're hiring me or, you know, Michelle Lemkuhl or somebody like that. I think Rick was smart. He got out of the family law business a while ago, but I think you can get into one of those maybe where there might be some gray area, maybe you're feuding with family, but if that's going on, maybe you should call in before you give chase. But otherwise, anybody's going to know that the other person's not going to have a claim of right. There could become instances in business type of situations, though, where maybe somebody thought they had a lien, okay, on a piece of property, maybe when a tow truck driver pulls up to take this property, you know exactly what's going on. There was actually a good case where a guy's thought his girlfriend's car was being stolen, and it was a repo guy that came up to get it, and he used deadly force against the repo man, and sure enough, he got charged for that, and he was able to assert a jury charge, and the trial court denied it to him because it said your girlfriend didn't have a right to use it. But he said, well, I reasonably believe there was no claim of right. Went up on appeal. They said he had a right to make the claim to the jury. I think that there's more complex than what I've given today, but
that's why repo guys make a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, you know, that's part of the job.
Part of the risk.
And then the other accomplishes it through force, threat, or fraud, meaning the thief or the burglar uses some kind of force, threat, or fraud to accomplish the dispossession. And I don't think I need to go into that. You're going to know what the force or the fraud or the threat is to use it. It's such, maybe he has a hammer and says, if you don't let me get out of this house, I'm going to kill you. Okay, well, then you let him go. Okay, then you got a right to give chase maybe with your own hammer. All right. And so at that point, that's getting into the deadly force area. And this is where we're going with this. So we get into section 9.42, and it says, you've got to be justified under those provisions that we just talked about. Okay, you got to be justified under 941. And when you reasonably believe that deadly force is immediately necessary. And I want these words mean things. Okay, and so listen to these words. To prevent the imminent commission, meaning imminent, it is on the verge of happening right now. The commission, the completion of the whatever act is about to happen. So to prevent, meaning it has not happened yet, but it's imminent, it's about to happen, it's on the verge of happening, arson, burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, criminal mischief during the nighttime. So burglary is entering a habitation unlawfully, right, with the intent to commit a series of items which can be of violence, okay, or theft. Okay, so entering a habitation to commit a theft would be burglary. That's burglary.
And just for clarification, if you weren't intending to burglarize, but you went in there, that's just trespassing. Would that be the separation between the two?
Exactly.
Okay,
and actually, let me get through this first, make sure I get through it. But there's a good case on this, and I want to talk about it before I get out of here. But you reasonably believe these things. So it doesn't actually have to be actual robbery, okay, or burglary. But it's got to be a reasonable belief, okay, that you are preventing the commission of it.
I got you.
Okay, and so prevent. So if it has already been done, if it has already been accomplished, then a good argument from the other side is going to be, and I say the other side, I mean the prosecutor, is going to be that provision does not apply because it has already been done.
Wow.
Okay, and so we go to the next subsection, which is to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing one of those things. So this time it has already been done. The act has been completed. This person has committed burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime. By the way, it leaves out criminal mischief on this second provision. Okay, so fleeing immediately after committing burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, or theft during the nighttime. If you remember, the previous subsection said criminal mischief during the nighttime. So if you're coming in and a guy just started the first letter of his graffiti, okay, or something to that effect, and is destroying property, you probably have a right to stop him. Yes, he has completed some of the destruction, right? But it is obvious that he is continuing to do it. So he has not completed his full act of the destruction, which could make a difference whether it's a felony, a misdemeanor, class A, B, C misdemeanor, okay? Because, you know, $250 worth of damage is a whole lot different than $5,000,
right?
Okay, and so you can prevent this, right, further destruction of your property. But if it's done, and so criminal mischief, the property's done, it ain't being taken, it's just being destroyed. Okay, so if the person is taking the property now, he's completed the act of burglary, boom, he's bolted out the door, you see him bolting out the door, there he goes with your property. Is he escaping with the property, and you reasonably believe that that has happened, and you reasonably believe, right, that he's committed one of those things, and he's escaping with your property, and you reasonably believe that the land or property can not be protected or recovered by any other means, or you believe one of these two things, the use of force other than deadly force to protect or recover the land or property would expose you or another to a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury. In other words, you can't get this property back, or you're going to get somebody hurt if you go try to get it back. Okay? And so you asked me a good question a year ago. What about insurance? I still don't know. I don't know. There's no way for me to interpret it. We haven't had a case in the last year.
Well, you know the question I asked, and I know the question you asked, but let's reiterate it.
So can land or property be protected or recovered by any other means? My argument is insurance doesn't protect that piece of property if I can never get that piece of property back. Insurance does not recover that piece of property. That piece that was stolen will never be recovered. Your argument is, yeah, but it does protect the value of that property.
And I said, that wasn't my argument. I'm just using it as a...
Hey, I'm giving you a hard time. Right? So, I mean, I don't know. I think they're both good arguments. Okay? And I don't know what's going to happen. And this is why you have a lawyer. But this is why we also have... Or I just hit my tooth on the microphone, or, right, the use of force other than deadly force to protect it would cause substantial death or bodily injury, serious bodily injury to another person. If it's covered by insurance and that argument works, you're never going to get to number two because nobody ever has to go recover that piece of property.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must sign or electronically an affidavit now that states that you understand these laws. You've been told these laws, you've learned these laws, you understand these laws. Now look at how complex they can be under situation, especially if you're stressed out. You better pay attention.
And I'll argue,
give us a call. You better read your laws and get them learned.
And I'll argue that the insurance argument, though, is a slippery slope because, I mean, there are some things that cannot be recovered. It ain't the value that I want to protect so much in my family heirloom.
See, the way you term it, though, Ross, makes it clear. I cannot replace that item, serial number such and such and such and such. I could get another, but it's not that one. So when you say it like that, it makes it so clear, but it gets muddled in the fight in the courtroom.
Right, and so how are you going to... I mean, there are some things that cannot be replaced, but that's what I was trying to tell you. If it is just... I mean, if it is something that can be replaced, if it's a PlayStation they're leaving with, if it's a TV or something, don't try to make new law. Just let it go. If you've got insurance, let it go.
I agree.
Right, and fight another day. But if it is something that is so important, or it's a priceless item, okay, then... And then that may give you a right to argue, too, even if insurance could apply, right? It don't apply in that situation because I can never get that priceless item back.
That's right.
I can never even go buy that item again. And then the state never even has a chance to make this argument, right? Or if they do, it's completely unreasonable. And so this is what I'm saying. I mean, try to not push these limits. And if you do, I'll try to protect you, okay? But, you know, you're probably going to need help protection.
You said something, and I'm trying to be funny here, but just what's priceless to one person
exactly
is not to another. So say, for example, you've got this picture. It's just a basic picture. You can replicate it very easily. But your daughter or your son wrote on it, "Daddy, I love you," in his or her third grade crayons, and you can never get it back, and it's an emotionally attached item to you, and somebody's taking it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. No value. That's probably not even worth anything. Probably has no economic value. Okay, but it has value to you.
That's right.
Right? And so that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
We have 1 minute. Well, be careful because there's a case called Adami, and there were some illegal aliens in the house, and the man walked up and as he was hunting.
You're talking non-documented workers, right?
Yeah. Non-documented,
whatever.
Foreign.
Illegal aliens, man.
Yeah. And so he comes and sees them in his house, and sure enough, he fires off on them, and he gets charged with murder. So you have to be very careful about exactly if it was necessary to protect your property, if it was necessary to take the action. And nothing is going to protect a purpose to inflict pain or harm or malice, use malice against somebody, if the main purpose is not actually to protect that property. So even if you did use malice, you better make sure that you're able to put on a good case that you were actually just protecting your property.
Ross, you're fantastic. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
254-605-4140 is my number. 254-605-4140. I'm here in Cameron. My main primary office is 105 East Main Street. Again, here in Cameron. You can just ask people around town, too, if you need to holler at me. Benton@Watson.legal. Benton@Watson.legal. Thank
you
guys for having me.
Stop sending all these paper letters of fan mail. Send an email directly to Ross. Ross, can't thank you enough.
Yeah,
take care. Too much.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's September 23rd, 2017, and we've got some topics of interest here. September 30th, Saturday at 2 p.m., I'm going to be having another license to carry class. So if you are a newbie wanting to get into class, September 30th, Saturday at 2 is the next class at Aaron's. If you have your license already and need a refresher course, you can... participate in the class for $40. And so it's newbies for $60, refresher course for $40. Just give me a call at the shop or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go to the license to carry page at aaronsgunshop.com. While you're there, though, go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. We broke 500. We're on our way to 6, so let's make it happen. Like I said, if you want to support this show, that's one way you can do it. October 13th is our next round robin, and I've talked about this many times, and I'll continue to do so because we're getting so many good shooters out of this competition. The round robin competition, it's only $20 to get involved with. Normally, the fee for the range is $10 per person for all night. On this particular day, the second Friday of the month, it's $20. You get to compete, you get to shoot, you get good training, and if you win, you get some type of great prize. I don't know, gun, knife, or whatever it may be at that particular day. October 20th, again, is ladies' night. Lots of ladies coming in shooting. Ladies shoot for free. Range time is free for the ladies. Guys, I'm charging you there, so be prepared for that. We have seminars. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page, you'll see all the different types of seminars that we provide, and if you have a group of five or more and want to go into any particular one of those training seminars, just give us a call or an email and let us know. Or if you got some special tweaking to a seminar, or you're looking to get special training done on a certain aspect of guns or what have you, we can do that for you as well. Parties, if you got a party going on, like a wedding or a birthday party for older people, 18 or older, or you got a corporate event, whatever, we've got a great facility there. You can have a lot of fun, so we can talk to you about that as well. Lots of things going on, but I highly recommend you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go through all the pages. Ladies, look at the testimonial page, because we have a special seminar for ladies only that goes over all sorts of things. And I'm going to read to you real quick just what we do at the ladies seminar here. Basically, it goes over mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling, how to do a reload on a firearm, point shooting, which is absolutely critical when it comes to self-defense, handgun round robins like we do in the competition. We'll teach you that by taking everybody's guns, putting them in different situations, and you going to each gun and being able to handle any gun that you pick up with ease and finesse. Room clearing. We've got the shoot house right across from the range. Go inside there and you'll be aggressed upon by a simulated assailant breaking into the home, and you got to go room to room and clear it. And it's a very adrenaline-rich environment, so you'll like that too. We've got student scenarios. We'll talk about some things that you may be concerned about. Lots of live fire shooting drills, and then we'll talk about all the niceties to possibly have if you're able to afford them. So lots of things to do. Go to the testimonial page, like I said. Also, go to the radio page. I don't really talk about this too much, but if you go to the radio page, we've got all of our podcasts that you can link to there. Go to the Facebook page and like us on Facebook. Check out the picture for the upcoming product spotlight, the 1911, the Rock Island Armory 1911. All sorts of things there. Make a comment, positive, please. And like us on Facebook. Or go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Got lots of great videos of interviews, product demonstrations, so on and so forth. Now, in the next hour, right around 11:25, we're going to have another great segment from retired Green Beret Mark Boyer. He's going to be talking about range etiquette, and that's always good. Lots of people love to watch him and see what he's got to say. So stay tuned for that as well. Now, I've got a couple of articles here that I want to read to you that I think are interesting and their points of interest, topic of interest. And the first one here, I was reading this, I just thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. Big toothy fish found in Nevada chomped prey like sharks. A fossil found in northeastern Nevada shows a newly discovered fish species that scientists believe looked and ate like a shark. Now, how far is Nevada from the freaking ocean? It's a ways, isn't it? And you can see it too when you look at the mountains. You can just tell. The fossil is what remains of a bony, sharp-toothed fish that would have been about 6 feet long, with long jaws and layers of sharp teeth. The type of jaw and teeth on the fish should suggest it would have chomped down on its prey before swallowing it whole like a shark, the Reno Gazette Journal reported. The surprising find from Elko County in northeastern Nevada is one of the most completely preserved vertebrae remains from this time period ever discovered in the United States. The fish, which researchers called Bergeria americana, predates Nevada's most famous fossil, the ichthyosaur. We need Ross from Friends, right? How do you say it? How do you know this? You do read a lot. You're very well versed in all sorts of type topics. The fish, which I already talked about that. The fish that Trey just said was 55 feet long reptile, one of the largest concentrations of whatever Trey just said, fossils found near Berlin, Nevada. The find led to the whatever, what do you call it again? Okay, and state fossil. Anyway, the other thing too, real fast, I was looking at things on Antarctica and they found this walrus, totally dehydrated, intact, in the middle of Antarctica where it was like a desert, sand, literally sand. It's just amazing. There's lots of things. We live in a world that we know very little about. It's amazing. So I just thought that was interesting to tell you. Now, Trey, we're going to set up our other segment here, Tactical Snacking with Janae. Okay, we'll do a commercial first and then we're going to... All right, no problems. We're going to go right into Janae Goodman's Tactical Snacking, and we're going to be talking about citrus, serious citrus.
Good morning. I have some serious citrus advice coming at you today, and I'm so excited, so let's jump right on in. My name is Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. I enjoy a nice kick of heat for my meals, but sometimes my dishes can be a little too hot to handle. Most of us know about drinking a glass of milk to help soothe the effects of a burning mouth, but did you know that the juice from limes and lemons can also help neutralize the effects of capsaicin? Keep a few lemon wedges nearby for your next hot wing challenge. I could actually go for some pretty flavorful wings right now. And what better way to add flavor than a marinade? You can actually make your own citrus marinade by taking one part of citrus juice, three parts of oil, herbs and spices to taste, and feel free to add any slices of citrus fruit as well. Don't forget to season items before cooking them. Marinades can help enhance flavors, but they do not replace seasoning altogether. These refreshing fruits can also be used for much more than just cooking. They can even take the place of some of your typical household products. For instance, if you find yourself in need of a chemical-free all-purpose cleaner, try soaking citrus peels in white distilled vinegar. Use citrus peels of your choice. This can be lemon rinds, orange peels, lime, or any other citrus fruit. You will also need white distilled vinegar, an airtight glass container. I find that mason jars work just fine. A spray bottle, a strainer, and water to dilute your mixture. Place the citrus peels in a glass container. Fill the container with white distilled vinegar. Seal your container and let this sit on your countertop or light area for 2 weeks. When the mixture is ready, strain out the orange peels and put the leftover vinegar into a spray bottle. It can then be diluted with an equal amount of water to clean household surfaces. This works so well because of a natural substance found in citrus fruits called limonene. This limonene is also what gives citrus fruits their smell. Speaking of smell, we're all pretty familiar with the unpleasant scent of a garbage disposal. Try dropping some citrus rinds into your disposal before you power it on next time. Give it a few seconds and it'll release a refreshing aroma. Do you have guests coming over and you need to cover up the smell of those old sweaty work boots? Well, just make a quick household refresher. All you need to do is toss your citrus peels in a shallow pan of water, just enough to barely cover the rinds. Let it simmer over medium-low heat, along with some of your favorite spices. I tend to use cinnamon or clove. And if you have any essential oils on hand, you can add a few drops of those to your mixture as well. Just be sure to keep an eye on your refresher so you don't have to clean a messy burned pot afterward. Do you typically deal with fire ants? Well, you don't have to worry about that for too much longer. If you're anything like me, you've probably tried to drown fire ants by simply pouring water over them, only to find out that they float. Well, thanks to Dr. Bob Randall from the Houston metro area, I can provide you with a tried and true recipe for an organic ant killer. All you need is 6 ounces of orange oil, 1 tablespoon of molasses, a squeeze of liquid dish soap, I use Dawn, and a gallon jug to fill with water. The orange oil melts the exoskeletons of the fire ants. The molasses is said to enhance the effects. The dish soap helps the ingredients mix a little easier together, and of course, the water is used to disperse your ingredients effectively. Be sure to drench the mound with the entire gallon of water. If this mixture reaches the queen, chances of destroying the mound are highly good and likely. It should also be noted that this method is to be used while the ants are at home. Because fire ants enjoy scavenging while it's not too hot outdoors, it's best to drench the mound during warmer parts of the day. That would be midday during the summer and vice versa for the cooler seasons. This orange oil solution can also be used indoors to create a 24-hour barrier for ants that may sneak in through cracks or windows. While orange oil can be made at home...
Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap and Mitchell Radio Program, September 23rd, 2017. We've got about another 40 minutes to go, and we are in our Product Spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. If you don't know where it's at, go to the train wreck. Okay, they're nearby. Anyway, the Rock Island Armory M1911A1. Now, Arch Coons is the owner of ANC Firearms. He's got a great staff there. Dennis, Mike, Clint. They got all sorts of goodies, guns, pistols, rifles, shotguns, knives, ammo, reloading equipment, accessories, the whole works. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Go to my Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com. Take a look at the picture of the 1911 I'm about to talk to. Now, I got this from sitem1911.com. I always like to read other people's opinions and see if I agree or not, or something. They may have said something that I didn't think about, which isn't usually the case. But here we go. the Rock Island Armory M1911A1. I was determined not to like this gun. Colt Kimber Springfield snobbery at work, I guess. I went at it with the intention of finding fault. At the same time, I love M1911A1s, and precious few gun makers are building true M1911A1s these days. They may look like them on the outside, but inside they're polluted with a bunch of lawyer-friendly California suck-up perversions of the design, like Swartz safety, firing pin blocks, external extractors, integrated locking system, and other answers in search of a question devices that degrade the trigger and unnecessary complexity to the design. Amen to that, Sid, the author. Kimber had taken to adding these improvements with an external extractor and the Schwartz-type firing pin block, but the Marines rang their bells when they ordered a batch of 1911s from Kimber, but specified that they should have no firing pin blocks or full-length guide rods, and they should have internal extractors. In other words, they should be real 1911s and not the lawyer-friendly crap that developed recently. So even though my Colt Kimber Springfield snobbery was blazing bright, there was some serious sympathy for an outfit that is still willing to build true 1911A1s, and that's the Rock Island Armory. Actually, Armscor of the Philippines through their subsidiary Twin Pines. Okay, the Rock Island Armory guns are being sold at an extremely attractive prices. The M1911A1 is selling anywhere from $350 to $450. And at that price point, generating a lot of interest, especially when guns like the Springfield Milspec are commanding $560 and most Kimber and Colt models are going for $800+. The Rock Island Armory pistol, like most modern production 1911s, has a lowered ejection port with the scallop relief to the rear, which is a good idea for reliability. It has a beveled magazine well and somewhat enlarged thumb safety flange. It's got smooth wood grips on it, too, which are pretty nice. That Rock Island Armory is Parkerized, has a short trigger of the 1911A1, has authentic sights, short guide rod, and a spring plug, no firing pin block, and a mil-spec trigger of about 5.5 to 6 pounds. The Rock Island Armory 1911A1 is shot really well close at 7 yards, I got a ragged hole, and at 25 yards, I got a pattern the size of a cantaloupe. Now, I want to make a comment on this. Depends on who the shooter is, determines the accuracy of that gun. I can outshoot a Kimber any day of the week. Okay, back to the article. I did the magazine from hell test, running every weird old magazine in the collection through it for reliability, and it only had one problem. A no-name Chinese knockoff magazine failed to lock back on the last round, but it still worked. There were no failures to feed. I did nothing to prep this gun for the test. I just took it out of the box, wiped the packing oil off the outside, and fired it. No lube, cleaning it, fluff and buff, nothing like that. All in all, it was a pretty decent performance for about a $350 to $450 gun. It was better than I expected it to be. Now, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and you would expect that certain corners might be cut in order to keep their pistol in that range when most others are beginning at $800 and up. If you want to find nits and picks, you can. The sights are very authentically narrow blade sights that those used on the GI guns, and I've used those guns in the military. So there you go. What's to like? Well, there's the price. Price, and then did I mention the price? For the money, I think this gun is an excellent value. The Rock Island Armory 1911A1 would be an excellent first gun for someone who wants to try out the 1911 platform without overcommitting resources. And based on my testing so far, it has the reliability and accuracy to serve in personal defense role. It might be able to go with you where you wouldn't want to take the safe queens. And by the way, I still haven't cleaned and lubed it, and it's still running fine. So ladies and gentlemen, that's the Rock Island Armory. Go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Phone number is 254-983-4417. Tell them Matt from Aaron sent you, and they'll take care of you. Now, I've got sitting to my left here, retired Green Beret, Mark Boyer. Mark, welcome to the show again.
Again, and thank you again for having me.
And let me tell you why you're on, because you got some great information, and you got 5 to 6 minutes to tell us what you got, and I think it's range etiquette, isn't it?
It's mostly range etiquette and conducting yourselves on the range. And first rule is that even though some of us may or may not have PTSD issues, some of us are just chowderheads, some of us might even have alcohol issues. Well, every now and then, I might have broken some of those rules, and I want to apologize to everyone. Attitudes and alcohol do not belong on the range, so leave those at home or in the car, but just don't take them onto the range. It is not a safe thing. The other issues is that this going to a range is like going to a dojo. Shooting is another martial art, and so you have to go in respectful of the environment. When you go in, you need to have your weapons cleared at all times. It's not like going to a store that allows concealed carry. This is a range where you're actually going to apply and engage with your weapon onto a target. When you go in there, there's going to be other people in the same mindset. So respect the range rules, and respect the other customers that are there shooting. Everybody should be the same. Your semi-automatics, this is an extra mile that I like to enforce and use. but I keep the slide locked to the rear even when it's in the holster. That way there is no question whether I've got a round in the chamber or an active gun. Also, you need to, when you go in there, familiarize yourself with the range. Now, a lot of us in our area, we know Matt's gun shop at like the back of our hand. Every now and then, if you go to another range, like if you're traveling or something and you want to get brushed up before a job, well, then go in, take a pause, check out the area, look where the range area is, the restrooms.
That was pause, right? Take a pause?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, just checking.
I've only got 5 minutes. I'm rolling, man.
I'm sorry, man. Go ahead,
about
go ahead,
this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. But yes, you take your pause. And you may want to introduce yourself to the staff, because you're going to have to do some paperwork, some insurance to sign in, get a lane number when you go out to the firing lane. You may also have to familiarize yourself with the range itself, the firing line, compared to the pro shop area, because some of these have double doors. So you put on your eyes and ears protection, and then you go to the first door. Usually there's a second door where there's a space in between where you shut the first door, and then you can proceed to the second door to go onto the range. Some chuckleheads like to leave that door wide open, and so the sound carries into the pro shop and it annoys everyone. And they all look at you like you're a cherry. Yeah, so don't do that.
Gee, is that from practical
experience?
Has that ever happened
to you?
Oh, gosh, I'm half deaf because of it. Shut the door.
And your counter is right there next to that door, so everybody making a purchase or doing their paperwork, they get a little startled up the bum.
I know I live out in the country, and the shop's out in the country, but it's not a barn. It's not a barn door. Shut the barn door, okay?
Absolutely, and that's another safety feature also. And safety is the number one priority on any range. So there are a few safety rules you have to follow, and the two that just jump right out at me. And everybody violates these one time or another, whether by accident or just through negligence. But keeping your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger, people. It's the finger that kills, not the lack of the safety device or the weapon itself. It's the finger. All right? That's why law enforcement, they always want to see your hands, because it's the hand that will pull the trigger, which will kill people, not the gun. The other one is keeping the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. You had an experience where somebody nearly blew your head off because they said, "What's this problem,
yeah,
Matt?"
The problem is it's pointed at my freaking head, pointed downrange. I had a discussion with that individual, but go ahead.
Boneheads. Also, walking around on the firing line outside of your lane. You're assigned a lane for a reason, so stay on that lane. When you start getting into a buddy-buddy network and everybody's talking with each other and you walk off your lane to another lane, you may or may not still have a round in that chamber. So your weapon better be safe. It better be cleared with the weapon on safe. Then proceed to another lane if somebody has a malfunction you're wanting to help them with. And that leads to something else. When somebody... I go to your range all the time because I'm getting more proficient, more tactical. I'm trying to hone that edge. And my respects to anyone who goes out to the range, regardless of your comfort level, because you're trying to make yourselves better. That's great. That's being a responsible weapons owner. But back on what I was about to say, when you go to that other lane and somebody hands you a weapon and says, "Hey, try this weapon. What do you think about that?" Well, first, I'm not from San Francisco. I don't like playing with another man's gun. So, I am going to say no, thank you very much. But if you are friends with someone else and you trust them, they want to do this thing, make sure that they clear that weapon first before they hand it to you. And if it's a weapon that you haven't experienced before, have them give you a little bit of introductory and familiarization so you don't accidentally have a hair trigger.
And you can't check that gun enough. You see the guy check the gun and it's clear. Guess what you're going to do as soon as you grab hold of that gun? Going to check that gun. And you're going to check it periodically, constantly. Always check the gun. Just check the gun. Okay, trust
me. Very recently, somebody said, "Hey, I just cleared that weapon." But...
Let it go.
They dropped the magazine first without pulling the slide to the rear, ejecting that of the round. So I tried to make a point that he still had a round in the chamber, and he completely ignored me several times, even though I told him he was unsafe, he needs to go away. But he is a good person and he's learning, so I respect that he is learning. Still needs to listen to people though. Also, range etiquette, and I'm sorry, I'm going long, but we have different type personalities out there who wants to shoot and get better. You've got the bullseye targets out there, where you've got an artist, an Olympic, who wants to really hone his skill, aim small, and shoot small. And I totally respect that. I mean, these guys are Olympics. They're stars. They're trying to get better. Well, myself, I don't shoot bullseyes. I shoot at silhouettes with a human face on there because that's what I'm going to be shooting when I deploy on a job. So that's a different mindset. I can do headshots, mid-chest shots, just to instantaneously eliminate that threat. I'm going tactical human elimination. These other guys are just doing bullseyes. Either way, you've got different people with different confidence, different objectives. You have to respect each other and give them a pat on the back when the weapons are clear. Give them a pat on the back and say thanks for trying to be professional and responsible. I could go for another hour on this. But last note is when you clear the range, you better clean up after yourself.
Oh, thank you for that. I'm not your mama. I'm not cleaning up your brass. Put your brass in the bucket, right?
Oh, yeah. And the targets. Nobody wants to see how good or how poorly you shot, and nobody wants to reach up there and remove your garbage.
That's right.
So take it home to mama. Brag all you can. Have the attitude and the beer at home, not on the range.
There you go. Mark, we can't thank you enough for coming on. This will be on a YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, probably Monday or Tuesday. So check it out. You'll also see it on Facebook. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and we'll check it out there. Trey, let's take us out. When we come back, we're going to have our game warden for Milam County, Derek Renspies. I hope
cool
I said
guy.
That, Derek. And he's sitting to my right, which he'll be sitting on my left in just a second. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, September 23rd, 2017. And ladies and gentlemen, sitting to my left is our new Milam County Game Warden. And that's Derek Renspies, and I'm very excited to have him here. We've been without one for a while, and now we've got one, and he's a fine, outstanding young man here, and I'm going to introduce him to you now. Derek, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. I know you got a super busy schedule. How are you doing today?
All pretty good. About yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I wanted, if you could, Derek, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into what we're going to talk about, and that's basically hunting and new rules and all the other stuff that goes with it. But tell everybody who you are and
what
you want them to know about you.
Yeah, I'm Derek Renspies. I'm the new game warden here in Milam County. I added a 61st Academy. Yeah, this is my first duty station here in Milam. So far, it's been a busy county, and I'm really enjoying it.
And you've been a warden for how long, though? You said you...
We started back in January, so since January.
Wow, so you got your own county that fast?
Yeah, well, you go through the academy in January, and then when you get out, they assign you a county, and I was very fortunate to get Milam County.
Well, why are you fortunate with Milam County? You live around the area? Or?
Well, no, I'm actually from a little bit south of here, but, you know, with the big
border...
Or is it
like frontier territory out here, huh?
Yeah, this is still one of the more wild counties left out there, and it's a one warning county, so, you know, one warning county is good because you can kind of work your own schedule and... Mm-hmm. You know, it has pros and cons. You don't have a partner to work with, but you got good game wardens around you also.
I was just going
to
ask you, if it's a one warden county, what is your support system other than other wardens who may...
Well, I'm very fortunate. I got the sheriff's office. David Green, you know, he was a former game warden. He's been a super good asset.
I'm sure he would be, yeah. He's been a game warden for how long was he?
Around 30 years, a long time, but he was an awesome game warden. And
I've heard many stories about David. He's very good at being a game warden. He's been around for a long time. I just hear lots of things about he pops up out of nowhere.
He does. He definitely has a good reputation here.
All right, so you have a good mentor? Is that what you're calling?
Yeah, actually, good mentor, good support system. If you need anything, the county always seems to be there to help.
Fantastic. Okay, I wrote down a bunch of questions that I think a lot of people are probably asking or would like to know, and I've got the book of the Outdoor Annual Texas Parks and Wildlife Hunting and Fishing Regulations. If you see it there in the video, you can get it at Walmart where I got my license, or somewhere else, I'm sure. And is there anything new going on for this year that you want to talk about and get everybody up to speed to make sure we have no mistakes?
Yes. Something I really want to hit on is hunter's education. You know, that's one of the most common things we come across in the field, the most common calls I get. There was a new law passed and is active as of September 1st on hunter ed exemptions. So if you're a peace officer, if you're state or federal military or retired, you are now exempt from hunter's education. However, with that being said, you can do hunter's ed online or you can do it in person. I mean, personally, my wife just did it online. That's by far the easiest way to do it.
Well, let's be clear, because you're saying if you're law enforcement or military retired, it doesn't matter the age, or if you're within that certain time frame where you have to
go
get a license.
You do not need hunter's education
now,
anymore.
That aside, now you're talking in general, if somebody wants to take a
yes,
license.
Yes, in general. For the general public, non-law enforcement or military, that you can take it online or in person. You know, like growing up, we took it in school. It was just kind of offered through the ag class. But now, my wife, she just took it online. You can do the class in, you know, say 4 to 8 hours.
I know. You were talking to me yesterday, and I'm thinking, like, I think about this 10, 15-hour class, and now you're saying 4 to 8 hours
if
online.
If you buckle down, you can get it done. Now, some important things to note on hunter's education. If you're born on or after September 2nd, 1971, you have to have hunter's ed. You got to go take the class. Now, if you just want to go out for the first time hunting and you're not sure hunting something you want to do, there's a thing Parks and Wildlife offers. It's called a hunter's ed deferral. And you can go, when you go buy your license at Walmart, say there in Rockdale, now you can just buy this hunter ed deferral and it's good for 1 year.
Oh, that's good to know.
So you can, you know, do a kind of a test run on whether you want to do it or not. But
how much does that cost?
I think it's $10 right now.
Well, that's a pretty good offering.
And all that information is in the Outdoor Annual. So, you know, go to Walmart and you pick one up. The feed store there in Rockdale has one, to the general store.
Well, let's say you've got somebody who has to have the hunter safety and you stop them. Do they have to have any type of identification that they took the course, or is it just based in the banks, the computer banks, and you look it up?
So it's how that works. When you print your license off, if you have hunter's ed, then a lot of times it'll show up in the license, but not all the time. The system's not always perfect. So Parks and Wildlife will issue you a card. You just need to make sure that you always keep that card on you along with your driver's license.
Okay. And when you request it, they got to have it on them, right?
Correct. They got to have it on them. And the thing about hunter's ed is if we write someone a citation for hunter's ed that doesn't have it, if they take the course within 90 days, the ticket will be dismissed when you show proof to the judge that you've taken it.
Okay. All right. Very good. What else we got here? We're talking about, I was mentioning to you yesterday, any new laws. You said, yeah, there's a few. Is that one of those laws you're talking
about? That was the main law that I wanted to hit on. The others are, you know, penal code laws.
Another thing we had discussed, and you hear the rumors of this, and I hate rumors because it'll get you in trouble. Agent of the owner. Remember we were discussing that, how you got a property owner, and a property owner can go out and shoot a hog that is disrupting his fields. Now, that's a question right there. And then the other question is, the owner's allowing somebody to come and hunt on their property, so they're the agent of the owner, which means they don't need a license. Now, tell us why that's wrong.
Okay, so there's a difference between hunting and controlling a depredating issue. For example, if the farmer's out there driving his field and he sees a group of feral pigs digging up his crop, he does not need a hunting license to dispatch those animals because they're depredating animals. Now, if this farmer has some guy from, say, Cameron or Rockdale come out and pays them $200 to go hunting for a pig that's out there, well, now you're in the sport of hunting. You're no longer just getting rid of depredating animals.
What if it's depredating preventive maintenance?
Sir?
What if the owner's saying, look, I'm having hog problems. I'm too busy doing this. I want you to come out to my property and do it. Do they still need a license?
Now, if he comes out and says, hey, I'm helping this farmer with depredating animals, you don't need a license. But on the flip side, you know, if you're going to be hunting for the act of a sport, mm-hmm. you need your hunting license.
Okay, no matter what it is, you need a license.
No matter what it is. If you want to go collect snakes, you got to have a hunting license. If you want to go bird hunting, you want to go hog hunting, you want to go deer hunting, dove hunting, it don't matter, you need your hunting license.
Okay. Anything else on that particular topic?
I would just mention something. The minimum age to do hunter's ed is 9 years old. If you're under that, you have to be accompanied by somebody. And for the deferral, if you get that deferral, you have to be accompanied with somebody also. In normal voice range, they have to be 17 years of age or older and have hunter's ed or born before that September 2nd, okay. 71.
Number here is 254-697-6633, 254-697-6633. If you have any questions, give us a call right now. Got a few more minutes to go here. Warden, what about illegal weapons? I remember when you guys go to like the expo center or something for a display and they got the trailer there with all the different types of illegal weapons. Give us an idea. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of ideas you could give us as to what's illegal, methods that are illegal.
You know, the most common one that I'll talk about is migratory game birds. When you're dove hunting, an illegal weapon would be having your plug not being in the shotgun on a semi-auto or pump action shotgun. So if you can hold more than 3 rounds in the gun, that's 2 in the magazine, 1 in the chamber, that's now an illegal gun to be hunting with.
So if you're using a shotgun for self-defense and you're maximizing its capacity with 5 rounds, and you decide to go out and start shooting migratory birds and you forget to put the plug in, you're screwed. So make sure you got 2 separate shotguns, okay?
You're definitely not within the law.
Tell us some other things about illegal weapons or illegal tactics on how to hunt.
Okay, so any migratory game bird, you cannot hunt from a moving vehicle. So let's use duck hunters, for example.
Heck, it's hard enough to shoot it when I'm standing still, you know?
You know, you would think, but like rallying birds, you can't be on a four-wheeler running through the field with your shotgun on your shoulder shooting while you're driving.
That's just dangerous.
That's dangerous on top of that. Okay. Not just illegal, but it's dangerous.
Optics, lasers, flashlights.
If you're deer hunting, well, you can't hunt deer at night. You know that. But if you want to hunt with the fancy optic red dots, you can hunt with red dots. You can hunt with suppressors.
Well, let's clarify why a red dot's okay as compared to a laser. Because if I remember this correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, the laser projects a beam onto the animal, whereas
correct.
The red dot stays within the confines of the optic device.
Correct.
So that's okay. A flashlight's not good because it projects a beam of light onto the animal.
Yes. If you want to use a flashlight during the day, but it really wouldn't make much sense, but you can have flashlight in your gun if you want.
You said something though that made me is this question. When it says 30 minutes prior to dawn and 30 minutes to dusk
for deer hunting,
how do you determine that? Is it like, well, the sun's about to pop up over that tree line, or do you do it based on the
absolute best way is almost everybody has an iPhone, right? Or some kind of computer where they can, if you go on that phone and go to the National Weather Channel or any kind of weather app, it always gives you sunrise and sunset. So that's the easiest way to determine it.
And how do they do that, man? You got sunrise.
You got me.
They got sunrise. Here, I'm in a valley, and you're on top of the valley. Your sunrise is different than my sunrise, and I'm only about 3/4 of a mile away from you.
Well, I can tell you, when we go off the law, we use our phone on a weather app, and we say, okay, well, sunset today is 7:35 or whatever.
Okay.
So,
all right. What about, why can't you use a phone that cranks to fish with?
So that's shocking fish.
That's a shocking question.
I think that's been illegal for a long time.
Yes.
It's even illegal to be in possession of one here in the state of Texas. That's not something you want to get caught with.
Possession of a crank phone?
A shocking device.
While you're doing the fishing.
Yes.
Okay.
So just having one on your person is enough.
That's enough.
Okay, let's talk license to carry. Let's talk open carry. Let's talk concealed carry. When you're hunting, when it's bow season. Let's talk about that.
Better have your license to carry permit on you.
Wasn't it before, though, even if you didn't have your license to carry and you're out hunting, weren't you able to carry some type of handgun?
I'm not really sure on that. I don't want to give you no misinformation
okay.
on that.
All right. But no big deal. License to carry. If you got it on, you're out, no matter what the season is, as long
just
as you
have
do.
Your permit on you.
Okay.
And you'll be fine.
Very good.
Something I want to touch on real quick, if you got a minute.
Sure.
So I know a lot of people go dove hunting with their friends, and they may not always want to take one or two birds home. So if you're going to give your buddy who maybe shot his limit, your limit of birds, or how many birds you shot, in the back of your outdoor annual, there's a wildlife resource document that you need to fill out and give it to him. Because if he gets pulled over on a traffic stop, or if I catch him running a stop sign, and then I see he has, you know, 25 birds well over his limit, well, I'm going to be asking some questions why he's 25 birds. But if he has his document on him, that'll show, hey, my buddy didn't want his birds. Mm-hmm. He gave them to me as a donation. Here's the form, and he'll be covered.
Okay, very good. I was just going to ask you a question here. Trey, help me out. I just had a brain cramp big time. This is what it was. You're hunting deer. You shoot the deer, and then you tag it. And you bring it home, everything's good. What's the purpose? How do you guys account for, or what's the accounting process for the license? The license, I know the funds go to certain things. It tries to keep some type of control, mm-hmm. and it tries to help out nature, the whole works. I get all that. But how do you keep track if somebody shoots the deer, tags it properly, gets home, nobody ever says anything or asks any questions? How do you keep track of that? How do you know how many deer have actually been taken down so you can make account for who gets special permits later in that year?
So, for example, and you're just talking about general hunting license, right?
Yes, sir.
So if someone goes out and shoots a deer, they're going to tear that tag out. They're mm-hmm. going to fill the back of it out, cut the day and month and all that out. Make sure you cut it out. Don't black it out. It has to be cut out. So the next time I check them, I can look at their license and be like, oh, okay, he's done shot a deer, and I'll ask him about it. It kind of helps us when we're checking licenses to keep track of.
I get that when you actually look at mm-hmm. it. But how does it help when they come to figure out the game population? Doesn't that kind of help them know how many deer have been taken so they can?
Well, I don't know if they use it so much off of licenses. A lot of it's done off of surveys. They do deer count surveys. It's usually how they figure out the populations.
Okay. All right. We're running out of time, Derek. So why don't you tell everybody? Yeah, go ahead.
Is there somewhere you can go to find a list of what's considered a pest animal? What you call a depredating animal?
Well, there's not so much a list. A depredating animal is really an animal that causes damage to your land.
Right.
So, for example, it could be a coyote attacking livestock, or it could be, you know, a beaver chewing up your, you know.
Mm-hmm. Could be anything, whatever is destroying
anything
something,
that's
right?
depredating. Now, you got to be careful. There's some things that are actually protected that you cannot shoot. You know, eagles, you know, hawks, a lot of the, you know, prey birds you mm-hmm. cannot shoot, but you can go through certain measures to get permits to do that.
Very good.
Is there like some places there may be an actual pest, like here in Milam County? I know we have a huge problem with wild hogs, but that may not be the same issue in another county.
There's no quote unquote list of okay. depredating animals.
Do you have bounties on any type of animals?
You know, I don't know if there's any bounties in this county here.
I know they had it on coyotes, right?
At one point in time, the county I grew up in, there was, you know, you could get money for raccoons, coyotes, and I believe there's certain counties in the state that do feral pigs too, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, Derek, since we're running out of time, is there anything you want to say that you can give the people that they can either help you or make contact with you if you want them to, or anything in general you want to say before
There's
you go?
There's two things I want to touch on. First, my most common question is doe hunting. When can we shoot does this year? How many can we shoot? Here in Milam County, you can start doe hunting for archery season. You have a limit of 2 does. Now, this limit of 2 does is for archery, general, and muzzleloader. So if you shoot one in archery and then one in muzzleloader, that's your 2 does.
Okay.
Now, during general season, rifle season, what most people call it, it's from September, where is it at here? Oh, the 23rd to the 26th. So it's about that weekend of Thanksgiving, and it's still 2 does, okay? And it's a 2-buck county also. I get that question a lot, so I want to put that in there.
Okay, very good. How about if they need to make contact with you? Is there any way to do that?
Yes.
And that won't overwhelm you?
Please call me 254-482-0892. That's 254-482-0892.
And what should they be telling you? If they have a question, that's fine, but if they...
The biggest thing is trespassing. You have someone trespassing, hunting on your property, and they're supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Call me as soon as you see them. Don't confront them. Don't talk to them. Don't wait 2 or 3 hours to call me or the next day. Call me. The sooner you call me, the sooner we can get there. So as soon as you can call, the better.
Fantastic. Warden, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. A lot of good information. I'm sure we could talk for another hour based on this stuff, but we're limited on time. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your day and coming on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, probably Monday or Tuesday we'll have this video up in case you want to go over some things, see our new game warden here from Milam County, what he looks like, and the phone number, so on and so forth. So, Warden, thanks again
thank
for coming
you. Appreciate
on.
It.
My pleasure. Trey, let's take it out with a commercial, and we're going to come back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. That was awesome. We had our Milam County game warden here, and great guy. So check out the video come Monday or Tuesday on Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, and I think you learn a lot. Now, sitting to my left now is Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts, and it's always a pleasure, Ms. Key,
to
have
you.
So need to get you near that mic when you're talking. She has, once again, another week of expert information that she wants to give to you all. So with no further ado, say anything you want, as long as it's okay on the air.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to review first, in case there's some that are coming in for the first time. And the first thing you need to be aware of is your situation and the room or the space that you're in. And then the mindset of both yourself and then the person that might be trying to bother you. Those are the first two things you need to be aware of. The third thing you need to be aware of is body awareness. And that what I mean by body awareness is there's your body awareness, which is your condition, you know, how big you are compared to the person that might be bothering you, and your abilities maybe compared to theirs. Obviously, I'm 60, I'm a little chubby, I'm older lady, women don't have the strength that men have, and you know, I already know this, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to be able to do if it's somebody a lot larger than me. And children don't have the size or the strength of an adult, you know, if somebody's trying to grab them. So I always teach my kids to pay attention to the size of the person that's bothering them also. The other part is the condition of the person that's maybe bothering you. Are they more your size? Are they smaller than you? Are they larger than you? And you know, I've trained in martial arts for over 25 years now, and I don't care what anybody says, size makes a difference. You know, I can take somebody that's my weight, they can be taller than me, but if they're my weight, say 180, 85 pounds, I'm not going to have that much of a problem defending. But if they're like my son and they weigh about close to 300 pounds, or like one of my instructors who weighs probably over 400, he's, you know, that's a whole nother matter of what you're going to be able to do. So you look at your situation, you have this person in front of you, you have your size. Are you injured? I have a left side that's injured. I don't like putting that in the front because I don't want it to get hit. So I'm thinking, where can I go to protect my injury? I don't maybe run as fast as somebody maybe really thin and looks like a runner. So I'm thinking, I can't outrun him. So I have to take him. Down where he can't run after me, if that's what I choose to do, or what I need to do in defending myself. So I'm looking at all these things, and everybody needs to be aware. Somebody in a wheelchair can still defend themselves. They just need to know what tools they have available to them. You know, because everybody, you know, unless their hands are compromised or their upper body, they can still strike with their fingers and heel palm and things like that. So the conditioning, you know, what condition are you in? Can you run faster? Because karate self-defense technique number one, get out of there if you can. You know, I don't care how good you are. Chances are if you get into it with somebody, you're going to get hit somewhere. You know, hopefully not. But, you know, if you do, everybody's going to have bruises and sore places on them if you get into a real confrontation and it takes more than one or two things to get them out of the way. But, you know, just be aware of that and aware of their condition. You know, I'm all for talk yourself out of it first and get out of the way. But, you know, if that's somebody really large, man, keep space and try to talk your way out, find the door, you know, find the opening and be safe. So anyway, have a great day, and that's my advice for today.
Ms. Key, I told you about that. I was asking you because I'm getting old and decrepit. And it's true. You got to analyze yourself and figure out what you can do with yourself, because what you used to do doesn't work anymore.
No.
Hence the reason I'm master with the firearm. Ms. Key, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, maybe an idea when you train, what the prices for your classes.
My prices are $80 a month, and you have to buy all the equipment if you choose to do the traditional class. There's sparring gear that you'll have to have, a uniform that you'll have to have, and you have to buy that for me. My phone number is 254-721-2000. 2775, and you can text or call that number. And if you don't reach me on that, I have a home number that also has an answer machine, and that number is 512-446-7269. And we'd love to have you come visit. I offer a free class or two if you want to see if it's for you or see if your child wants to do it, and then we just go from there.
Fantastic. How much time I got, Trey?
30 seconds.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we had a fantastic show. I love the guests. They're all great. And until next week, keep your powder dry. Don't forget, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook, the whole works. But until next week, God bless. Keep your powder dry.